Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I'd like you to take your Bible and just put it in your hands. If you didn't bring one with you, I want you to know that's okay. In the pew rack in front of you, there's a Bible sitting in there. And if you want to take that, just put it in your hands. And by the way, if you're here this morning and you do not have a Bible, that Bible that's in the pew rack in front of you or behind you or wherever you got to look to find one, if you don't have one, I want you to know that you can take that one with you. And that's a gift to you. You can have that. You make it your own. Okay? Make it your own. But I want you just to put it in your hands. I want you to open it. Just want you to put it in your hands. And if you're sharing a Bible this morning, you can each put a hand on it. I want us to remind ourselves by a scripture verse of what we're holding. What we're holding in our hands. Paul wrote this. Don't turn there. I just want you to listen to this. I'll let you turn to a scripture verse here in a moment. But I want you to remember, we need to remember what we hold in our hands. Paul wrote it to Timothy, his son in the faith, the young pastor. And he wrote this in the second letter to him, what we call the third chapter and 16th verse. He says to Timothy, he writes under the inspiration of God's Spirit, and he says, all Scripture is God-breathed. It is useful for teaching. What you hold in your hands is useful for teaching. For teaching us, as we sit and we read it and think about it, and the Holy Spirit who breathed these words, when we read it, it's not just inspired by Him alone, it's also that He is present when we pray and we say, would you help me now understand what you have breathed so that I can be taught? Wonderful to have the author right there with you, isn't it? This is what you hold in your hands. Something that God breathed that is useful for teaching. It's useful for not only teaching, it says rebuking. How many every once in a while you just need a good rebuke? You know what a rebuke is? It's like a correction. It's like, hey, would you stop that? What are you doing? Stop that. If you keep doing that, do you understand what can happen to you? And if you don't do that, can you understand what can happen to you? A correction. It's useful for teaching and rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness. We can train ourselves in a lot of things. We even train ourselves in things accidentally. It's just like something we kind of grew up doing, or we set a pattern, or it's a habit that, or something that developed into a habit, or now it's a pattern of life, however you want to look at that. And we've trained ourselves in it. Isn't it wonderful that His Word can actually be useful in training us in right things? The important things, the attitude of the heart, how to deal with difficulty, how to deal with conflict, how to rise above our tendencies. His Word is useful. That's what you're holding in your hand. So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Man of God, woman of God, person. That's what we're holding in our hands. Sometimes we forget, just because we might grow familiar with it. And so there's a little bit of contempt familiarity can bring. But I've got to remember that when I open this up on my desk and I look at it and I read it, Yeah, we call it a Bible, but I got to remember what that Bible is. That is God's Word breathed to me to inspire me and train me and rebuke me and correct me and encourage me and teach me. That's what this is. That's what that is. Now I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is living and active. God breathed it, and in His breath is life, right? We learned that in the beginning. He breathed into the nostrils of man, and man has been perpetual. It continues to bring life. So understand that if His Holy Spirit breathed this, what we read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, when it says God's Word is active and it's living, it's when He breathed it, His breath is living, and it just brings life everywhere. It doesn't pass out and die. That's why this is so different. This book is so different and creates such converts and advocates, but it also creates such opposition. Because this book is living and active and breathed by God. And it continues to be perpetual. It still lives. It wasn't just living the moment that it was written, but it has lived for every moment that the Holy Spirit began to breathe it. This thing that you hold is like no other book, because this, which looks like dead material, the words in it are living and active. This is the living book, the living word. It's different. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. No wonder it brings so much opposition. When we read something in here or hear something in here, and it pierces like a double-edged sword. It pierces down to the depths of our soul and our spirit. And we go, ouch! And human pride can rise and say, I don't want to hear that. Or I can argue my way out of that. All that old stuff, and that's just conservative, and that's just blah, 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 blah. And we can say whatever we want. We can present any argument we want. We can convince ourselves. We can convince someone else. But I want you to know it doesn't change that His Word is living and active. This Word pierces. In other words, when we read it and study it, and we take it to heart, do you understand that sometimes we're just supposed to say, ouch, ow, ow, oh, that's me, that's for me. And other times we read it and we go, oh, thank God, that is so good. That speaks right to my heart, right to my situation, right to my mind. It's what I needed to hear today. It's what brought me life. Oh, life. Oh, it's living. This is what we hold in our hands. And it's for the piercing first of our own heart, and then this word. As we grow and develop, this word, this double-edged sword, is meant to gain ground and be assertive and aggressive with, and also times to defend. But first, it's supposed to pierce our own heart. So as we look at the scripture verse this morning, because this isn't even the sermon, it's kind of the prelude. I want you to remember what we read and what I need to remember as I what I read and what I hold in my hand. What God's Word is really for. It's not just always supposed to affirm me in the sense that I'm doing good. Or I don't want to read that part. I feel convicted over there. I want to read this good stuff. We have to accept all of it. God is doing a work in us. He's laboring with us. He's trying to bring about his righteousness in us. Bring a closer relationship with us. Jesus came to undo the works of the devil. That's what it says in the scripture. Jesus came to bring us life, bring you life. Undo the death that sin brings. All kinds of things in our life that he's undoing and building new. So as we look at the scripture this morning, I want you to keep in mind that this is his living word. This is for me, for us, today, right here, relevant. And I want to just go over just a moment, a mini message, and here's the title. Josh, wherever you are, Josh Meyer, if he's in here, here's the title, because he'll always come up. He does the podcast for us, so here's the title. How to Spoil God's Promises. How to spoil them. I want you to look in the Old Testament in the book of Zechariah. It's near the end of the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 7. And the message that the prophet is bringing is to the people of God. So if we were to look at that today, it would mean that if we are the people of God, we have faith in him, in other words, and we want to worship him and we want to live for him, that means that this message would actually be for us. In today's terms, it's for the church. It's for us. They were doing some very spiritual things over time. I'll just give you a little history here. They were doing some very spiritual things, and a question was asked. And that question was, you know, for so many years I've been fasting in this month. Should I continue to do that this year? In other words, they've been doing spiritual exercises, doing spiritual things. I mean, fasting and things like that, that's spiritual exercise, you know. It's the same as other spiritual exercises that we might do. Spiritual exercise. Pray. Read his word. Come to church. Sing the songs. Adore the Lord. Might even raise my hands. And spiritual exercises. And those are good things. Those are right things. But the question is asked, should they continue doing it this year? And in verse 8, the word of the Lord came again to Zechariah. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Administer true justice, show mercy and compassion to one another. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. In your hearts, do not think evil of each other. In other words, the question is asked, should I do these spiritual exercises? And the Lord's response is, isn't even about the spiritual exercises. His response is, hey, I'll tell you what to do. Don't speak evil of each other. Be kind to these people. For example, and he gives examples. Don't oppress people. Now here, verse 11, check this out. But they refused to pay attention. Stubbornly, they turned their backs and stopped up their ears. You ever done that? Somebody's talking, you've gone, oh. You ever done that? It's not real relevant anymore, but they used to come up with other ways of doing that rather than stopping up your ears. We would say things like, talk to the hand. You know, don't talk to me about it. I'm not listening. You ever done this? La 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 la. You ever done it? Okay, if you haven't done it, I promise you, people have done it to you. Sure. Little bit of humor in it, but you know what? That's what they're doing. Here's God speaking. He asked the question, God speaks and responds, and, you know, maybe they weren't really interested in the answer. Maybe they were looking to get out of the spiritual exorcist. I don't know what their motive was, but all the response is, when God spoke to them, they did not pay attention and they stopped up their ears and turned their back on it. You ever have somebody turn their back on you when you're talking, walk out? Yeah, you usually know it's a final thing because you hear the slam of the door. They made their hearts as hard as flint and would not listen to the law or to the words that the Lord Almighty had sent by His Spirit through the earlier prophets. So the Lord Almighty, He was angry. Listen, our God is a loving God, absolutely, but understand this. There are times that things anger Him. We know the good news of the New Testament. It is God's grace and it is God's joy and it is His mercy. But understand that God can still get angry. He never locked Himself out saying that He would never get angry. And His frustration and anger is that He loves these people. And they are asking a question and He is responding to them. He said, I'll tell you what to do. I don't want you to spoil the promises that I've given to you. I want you to live in those promises. I want to give more promises. I want us to live in right relationship. That is God's motive. That is His heart. And the people were not responding in cooperation. And it wasn't the first time. It's not like the first time they stopped up their ears and turned their back and didn't want to listen. He kept drawing them. He kept trying to get close to them. He kept trying to tell them. He kept making promises. He would continue. And finally, after doing this so many times to God, these people, it got him angry. Now, it didn't get him angry where he was going to go splat. It just got him angry. See, the Scripture teaches us that you and I can get angry, but we're not supposed to sin in our anger. So if that's God's directive and He is perfect, understand that He is not sinning in His anger. And if you were to look at the scenario of God's people and what He was saying and what He was doing and His continued patience, you would very quickly get the picture and understand God has got every right to be frustrated and angry with Him. When I called, this is verse 13, when I called, they did not listen. So when they called, I would not listen, says the Lord Almighty. Isn't that interesting? Because we know God hears our prayers. But if we are not listening to God, understand that God can impose His will, and rightly so, because He's justified when He judges. He says, you know what? I have been speaking to them. I have been speaking to them. I have been speaking to them. I have been trying to get close. And they do not listen and they do not respond. And now they're calling out to me to do whatever, whatever, whatever. Guess what? You know what? I'm not going to listen to their prayers. It's not that God was saying, fine, I'll just take my ball and go home. He was trying to send a message saying, I have tried to speak to you and get close to you through time and experience and again and again and again, and you do not listen. And now you come to me. I'm not going to listen to your prayers. And the message is this. You better start listening to me. How does it feel when I'm not listening to you? God can discipline how He wills and how He chooses, and when He does it perfectly, and He does it without sin. When I called, they did not listen. So when they called, I would not listen, says the Lord Almighty. I scattered them with the whirlwind among the nations where they were strangers. The land was left so desolate behind them that no one could come or go. This is how they made the pleasant land desolate. Get this, they spoiled the promise. They were living in the promise, and as they were living in the promise, they stopped listening. They didn't realize, so to speak, as a parallel, they did not realize what they held in their hands. That his word to them was breathed by him. It was there for teaching, rebuke, correction, training, encouragement, direction, guidance, hope. It was filled with life. It would cut to the depths of their soul, and yet it could be a weapon in their spiritual arsenal to exercise faith and to fight off the enemy. Just like Jesus did when he was tempted, he spoke God's word and he overcame. The way that we spoil the promise that God gives to us is that we don't listen. We no longer listen. Now, if God, in his wisdom and character, responded to them like this then, I have to understand that it's possible, just possible, that he may discipline me possibly the same way if I commit the same infraction. If I stop listening and I stop responding, and I can go through spiritual exercises and stop listening, it's possible that I will spoil the promises he's given and he will no longer listen to me. How would you like that for wasted time? Going through spiritual exercises and God was not even listening. How futile is that? That the blessing you may be trying to seek isn't even being heard. Not because he's mean, not because he's nasty, not because he's God. It's because we, time and time and time again, stopped listening to his word to us that brings us life. And we spoil the promise of God. And we start to think, well, I thought this Christianity was supposed to be great. And I thought they were great and mighty promises, yea and amen. And, blah, 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 blah. And the fact of the matter is, it's true. They are, and he is. However, we spoiled it in our life because we stopped listening. We stopped responding. Do you remember? Can I remember what I hold in my hands that I am supposed to have hidden in my heart so that I would not sin against him, as David wrote? We go through a lot of spiritual exercises and we can feel really good about it. We can feel really holy about it. But tell me, what does it matter if a pastor goes and saves the whole community, ministers to all the church people, and along the way he loses his own family? Tell me, what good is that? All the spiritual exercise you want. Tell me, what good is it for a wife to be in the Bible study and be involved in some community and some good thing and yet not give herself or respect her husband at home? You know what it is? We're not listening. What good is it for a child, a teenager, to go to youth? And I know there's more than just what's right here. Tell me, what good is it to go to youth and, I don't know, play drums and sing the songs and go to the youth activities and go to the altar and pray and then go home and not obey your parents? If that's the case, we're going through spiritual exercise and we are really not listening. We can go through the spiritual exercise. We're not listening. What? Tell me, what good is it to be on the worship team and sing and play and raise your hands and feel the presence of God and then go home and be an absolute demon to live with? We're not listening. We can act real holy about doing spiritual exercise and real holy about believing the right things. Got the doctrine down. And somebody shows up who deserves judgment. And we are quick to pass out judgment or quick to condemn them. When James, the chairman of the board, so to speak, of the apostles, says, yeah, the judgment might be right, but mercy triumphs over judgment. You can be good in your doctrine, and you can speak it, and you can talk it out, and you can look really holy and look down your nose at people who don't, you know, they're not as clean as you are. You're not listening. Remember this. Because Jesus put it this way on different occasions. By the measure you judge, you will be judged by Him. And in His presence, you don't have a chance for giving an excuse or doing the blaming on someone else. And yet before that, He has said, listen. Listen, you want to know what to do? Yeah, your spiritual exercises are good and they're right, and keep doing them, but He has instruction for us. For all of us in this place, it is all of this. And then beyond that, He has instructions for all of us in this place that is specific to us as the individual. Because we are not just some number to God. There are things He wants to speak to your heart. And He has been speaking to your heart and life. And if, I'll tell you, I don't know what the point is, and only God knows. We can continue to disobey. We can continue to run. We continue to la, 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 la. And then we run into a real need. We go, oh, God, we love. And you think God's supposed to go, oh, yay. Here you go. And we think that's good and that's gracious. There are times that He does it that way. There are the times He says, oh, la, 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 la. You have not listened to me time and time again. And I have drawn you. I have worked for you. And now you just come on a whim and you just think it's okay. Turn to me. You're in rough shape. How does it feel not to be heard when you're very sincere and you're hurting and you want to be close to me and I don't respond? You remember that. Now, here's the good news. That is not where the story ends in Zechariah. You know God. He's teaching a lesson if they'll learn. If they'll learn it. And then He gives them opportunity again. And He begins to hear their prayers. And He begins to speak to them. And He wants to bring them into blessing upon blessing. You know, that's how that's the rest of Zechariah. It turns into that. And it makes its way into the New Testament in time. And Jesus appears. And you understand. Do you and I really recognize what we hold in our hands? The life to instruct, to teach. The favor God has given us in giving His word. The favor God gives us when His Holy Spirit speaks to us, not only through His Word, but individually. Maybe as you sit in this room or you walk through your life and you kind of hear His voice, or you hear His voice, or you're thinking, whoa, wait a minute, was that God? We don't listen. We just go through spiritual exercise and we think we're doing okay. I mean, what good is it to be a veteran saint and throw your tithe in the offering and then go out and speak against somebody? You're not listening. If I did that, I would not be listening. It is spiritual exercise without obedience. And obedience is greater than sacrifice, according to His Word. We want to be people of experience, but the experience has to be based upon His Word. And if we are not people of His Word, and we do not listen, then our experiences will be very small. When God is so much larger. Let's stand up, please, all over this room. How do you spoil God's promise? By not listening. By not listening. How do I spoil His promises? How do I make the promised land look desolate? It's because I stopped listening. Remember what you hold in your hand. Remember what sits on that desk or on your nightstand that you walk in and out of that room and pass it all the time, day and night. Remember what this is. And what is God speaking to you? If there is a cyclical thing that comes around in your life, it just keeps coming around, it keeps coming around, it keeps coming around, it keeps coming around. Understand that there may be something in it that God has been trying to teach you. And for us to not continue to live in that downward cycle, maybe, just maybe, I haven't been listening. If your relationship with people is constantly problematic and full of conflict day in, day out, year after year, understand something. You can blame it on the devil and a spiritual attack all you want, but the fact of the matter is, you can go to church and still have that stuff going on. Somewhere along the line, we are not listening. And we feel like it's some attack on us because we're so righteous because we're going through spiritual exercise. And the fact of the matter is, they were going through spiritual exercise, but they stopped listening. They stopped responding. And it spoiled the promise. Randy Williamson has got to be listening. So I don't spoil the promise for myself, for my family, for my friends, for the church body. Because when we stop listening as an individual, it's not just our life. It's my life, I'll do what I want. It affects other people. So our responsibility is greater than our little argument that this is my life and I can do what I want with it. The great thing is when we listen, the promises keep unfolding, even in the midst of challenges, because He is faithful.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.